Good morning, everyone. I'm John Huckenberry here with Todd Zwillick. And President Barack Obama is off in Italy now at the G8 summit where there are other issues to deal with. But yesterday in Russia, the president stood before an audience of economic students and wanted his message to be absolutely unmistakable.
Let me be clear. America wants a strong, peaceful, and prosperous Russia. This belief is rooted in our respect for the Russian people and a shared history between our nations that goes beyond competition.
In fact, you could call the shared history between the United States and Russia more of a rivalry. What is the state of that relationship now after this very important meeting between President Barack Obama and the President of Russia and the Prime Minister of Russia, Vladimir Putin, Medvedev, of course, the president? Continuing now our discussion with Strobe Talbot, who's the president of the Brookings Institution, former deputy secretary of state in the Clinton administration, and author of most recently The Great Experiment, The Story of Ancient Empires, Modern States, and the Quest for a Global Nation. Strobe Talbot, you wrote a little bit about this whole idea of resetting the U.S.-Russian relationship, which was ostensibly the mission of the Obama administration. First of all, we talked a little bit about that at the top of the hour. Do you think a reset is a relevant, useful term here?
I think a lot of people are getting kind of tired of it.
Yeah.
And also, it needs to be understood correctly. Resetting a relationship is a little bit like dancing the tango. It takes two to do it. And even the headlines in our own press keep talking about this as though it's up to the United States all by itself to get things right with Russia. And there's an implication there, of course, that we all by ourselves, the U.S., got it wrong. That couldn't be further from the truth. The Russians have a lot of resetting of their own to do. It's going to take a long time to do it. It's going to be a slogging operation diplomatically, but it took a step forward this week, I think.
Although it seems to me that unlike some of the other receptions that Barack Obama has received around the world, he's not coming to two leaders who have any interest in projecting a lot of change, projecting a lot of liberalization. I mean, these are very tough, hardline Russian leaders who have an explicit agenda, and it involves territory in the Caucasus and their relationship with difficult problems in Chechnya, and they've signaled well before Barack Obama arrived that they're not moving on any of these issues.
Well, all true up to a point, John. I'll just make two points on that. First of all, I think there is still a case to be made, although it's long from proven, that there are potentially some differences between President Medvedev and Prime Minister Putin, and we can go into that if you want. But there's no question, as you suggest, that they're joined at the hip to some extent, and they're joined in a pretty tough posture. President Obama needs to be very careful, in fact, more careful than he was at the on the eve of this trip, not to appear to be trying to play the two off against each other, because that won't do Medvedev any good if he is any better than Putin over the long run. The real point here, and I think we ought to maybe just spend a second on this,
sure,
is that on the vitally important question of nuclear arms control, and there's sort of a back-to-the-future quality about that whole subject because we went through the Cold War,
sure,
during arms control with the Soviet Union, that enterprise is back on track now. And that matters. And I think the hope is, and I think I'd even make a prediction, that some progress between now and the end of the year on strategic nuclear arms control will begin to move the relationship as a whole in a somewhat more positive direction.
So the strategy here is to talk about something that we agree on or can agree on, the U.S. and Russia, and then make progress in a variety of other areas. And you've described them in some of your writing, that if we talk about everything from the Organization of Cooperation, Economic Cooperation in Europe, where Russia is an observer, you can also talk about other economic bilateral and multilateral organizations that Russia has been sort of quiet and now needs to be brought more into. There are a number of channels where this relationship can really be improved.
Right. And even on the really tough issues, and that means Iran and getting the United States and Russia more together in the Security Council to use sanctions if Iran remains on a belligerent course, which there's every reason to expect it will, that too ought to be an area where the Russians will see their interests to be pretty closely in line with the United States. The United States, they're closer to Iran than we are.
Right.
They've got a large culturally Islamic population. They don't want to see, or shouldn't want to see, Iran become a nuclear weapon state. But again, there is this deep, deep resentment, which you alluded to at the top of the conversation that we're having, of kind of, you know, festering resentment about the United States. The Russians have a real case of the kind of Rodney Dangerfield syndrome. They just feel they don't get enough respect, and they're going to stomp their feet and get more. That's kind of their tactic.
Well, Strobe Talbott, president of the Brookings Institution, former deputy secretary of state in the Clinton administration, we're talking about the potential change or sort of repositioning of the U.S.-Russian relationship. You mentioned Iran in a moment ago, Strobe Talbott. Listen to Barack Obama speaking about this issue of using a cooperative relationship to deliver clout in East Asia or the Middle East.
As we keep our own commitments, we must hold other nations accountable for theirs. Whether America or Russia, neither of us would benefit from a nuclear arms race in East Asia or the Middle East.
Now, Strobe Talbott, you have described Russia as being kind of encircled, both geographically and diplomatically at this point in history. Does Russia actually have legitimate clout with governments like North Korea or Iran on this issue of an arms race?
Some. The Chinese have more with regard to North Korea, but the Russians have, I think, very stupidly and short-sightedly given a lot of help to the Iranians, both in their nuclear program, ostensibly their peaceful nuclear program, but we all know it's not really peaceful, and in their ballistic missile program. But just one point on encirclement.
Sure.
That's their perception, or the perception of too many Russians. The flip side of that, the mirror image, I think the more accurate way to say it, is that they are being given a chance to kind of be part of the international community. It's really more of an opportunity for them to join international institutions and that kind of thing. And so they have to, over time, get over this historically very deep-rooted feeling they have that everybody's out to get them. And one of the problems with that attitude, which goes back to Tsarist times, is that when the Russians feel on the defensive, they tend to go on the offensive, as we saw in Georgia. And breaking that mindset is a challenge above all for them.
Strobe Talbott, Todd Zwillick here, and I want to ask, you know, you say the Russians have a long and chronic and deep-seated sense of not getting enough respect. And just in the acute sense, since we have a new president, do you think that they see any movement on the U.S. side in the transition from the Bush administration to the Obama administration, a different attitude that makes a difference to them, or is it the same old song and dance from the United States for them?
Todd, of course, you know, there are different Russians with different perceptions. My guess is that the people who really count recognize more than they're letting on publicly that, of course, there's a difference that is potentially useful to both sides in the transition from George W. Bush to Barack Obama, not least because President Bush really didn't care at all about treaty-based arms control. He was much more of a unilateralist. That means, you know, the U.S. does what it wants and the rest of the world can get used to it. And President Obama is committed to diplomacy, committed to treaty-based arms control of a kind that the Russians are used to. They've gotten pretty good at, but they don't want to feign Obama mania and say, "Oh, this is terrific. Everything is now great because Obama's in the White House," because they think that would lead the United States to make excessive demands on them. So they're just playing it real cool.
And what about on the issue of missile defense, which was a major spur in under their saddle there that George W. Bush instituted unilaterally, like you said. President Obama has decided to review missile defense, not saying whether we would continue with it or discontinue it. Do you think the Russians find any solace there?
I do. I think they do. And by the way, it goes beyond the issue of the anti-missile systems that are contemplated for Poland and the Czech Republic, which was kind of a dumb idea that President Obama inherited from President Bush, but he didn't want to just give it up for nothing, as it were. They really are, that is, the United States and Russia really are, towards the end of the year, going to move towards significantly lower levels of offensive ballistic missiles and systems. That is going to require both sides to reopen the question of whether there doesn't need to be agreed treaty-based regulation of strategic defenses.
Right.
Because the lower you get on the offensive side, the more you need regulation
And that's where the whole ABM issue, the old straight out at us. We just got about 30 seconds, Strobe Talbot, before we go. Is it fair to say that the takeaway here is the big challenge going forward for the Obama administration is dealing with a very defensive Russia?
Yes, and getting them to recognize that they've got some resetting to do, including in terms of their basic mentality.
Exactly. Strobe Talbot, president of the Brookings Institution, former deputy secretary of state in the Clinton administration, author of The Great Experiment, the story of ancient empires, modern states, and the quest for a global nation. Thank you, Strobe.
Thank you.